good morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Let's stand together and sing, come, now is the time to worship.
To be in the house of the Lord. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. And we give him all the glory. Amen. We are so excited that you're here today, this morning. We're here to praise the Lord, and he's worthy to be praised and adored. So we're excited. As you can see, I had some Cuban coffee this morning. All right. I'm just excited to have our brother Rick. Let's give a praise to the Lord for brother Rick right here. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And hermano Danny, we're happy to be here for you today as well. Praise the Lord. Miss Belinda. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We give God the glory. Thank you. My brother, please.
A different one. Maybe I don't need it. Welcome to church.
Amen. There we go.
This morning, obviously, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. So I would appreciate those of you who take that. Very reverent event. And look forward to that. The only announcement that I really want to say is, since we have them coming through during the beginning of the service, is we have a prayer card in the bulletin. And I would like to encourage you to especially if you're a first, second-time visitor, so we can reach out to you, so we can contact you.
be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Philippians 4:20.
Amen.
Amen. We continue singing as we stand, and we know that in this life we have trouble. Amen. And y'all, I'm one of the worst in the world that I get frustrated easy. Amen and amen, brother. When I hit a little roadblock, and I sometimes want to, but you know, the Bible tells us that the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That He fights for us, and we just need to let Him do it. Amen? Let's sing that today. The battle belongs. Okay. The battle belongs to the Lord, amen? So does the music. It belongs to the Lord, amen? Amen, amen. You know, when we get to heaven, I don't think we're going to have that happen, do you? But we're going to enjoy it. I asked the pastor today, I said, Pastor, would you rather have us do a little singing today or some singing? Okay. So let's do some singing today.
Oh,
the people said, amen, amen. When we all get to heaven. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. And come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. And live. Now your burden lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fades, fills the night. And when you can't contain the joy inside, then dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus and live. And when your final heartbeat kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Oh, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. All the time. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Thank you, praise team, for leading us through the throne to praise the Lord. And one day we'll fly to Jesus. We'll fly to Jesus. What a joyous moment that will be. No more pain. No more taxes. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. He's good all the time. We're praying for revival, my brothers and sisters. We continue to pray for revival. We want to see the power of God pour over our city. Amen. We want to see many souls come to know Christ. We want souls to be baptized in the Baptist. We want some people coming down the aisle, give their lives to Christ, to surrender their lives to the Lord, just like we did one day, that we will also experience and see the power of God in our city of Fort Valley, in Peach County, where God has planted us. I believe God has planted us here for a purpose, and I believe that we will see that purpose come to pass. I can't wait to see what God has in store for us. Amen? So I'm excited. I'm excited. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to be in verse 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Father, we are so thankful to be here in your house and to praise you and to give you all honor and all glory. For you are worthy, Lord. We thank you because of you. We are here today. We're not here by mistake. You're the one who started the church, and this is why we're here. We're part of your body. Oh, what a glorious moment it is. Father, thank you so much that the body has come together to praise you, to give you honor and glory. Father, we thank you. We ask now that you speak to us through your word. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. It's been a while, but many years ago, I read a book called Come to the Table by Claude King. Claude King was also the one who wrote The Experiencing God with Henry Blackaby. He wrote most of this material, and I said, one day, and of course, this is way before I came here, I said, one day I'm going to preach a sermon on Come to the Table. I just didn't know when that was going to happen, but now it's here. So we are excited that we are going to be able to partake the table. We're going to come to the table, and we're going to honor the Lord. Jesus, number one, it says, Jesus did it in an appropriate occasion. It was an appropriate occasion when the Lord's Supper took place. It was the Passover. It was the Passover week. It was a reminder of Israel, how they had left Egypt, and how the angel of death went through door by door, and they put the blood of the lamb, and then death would move on to the next house, into the next house. I believe that that's exactly what's going to happen when we are here in this world and death comes. He said, I can't go to that house because it has the blood of Christ in it. Cannot go to that house because he belongs to Jesus. She belongs to Jesus. So it was a special occasion. It was the Passover. And it was that whole week. And it was also the same week that it was called the Passover, the Passion Week, where Jesus was going to go to the cross as well. So it was a special occasion. Jesus took two elements from the Passover. He took two elements. First of all, he took the unleavened bread. He took the unleavened bread. They didn't have time to cook it and bake it like they're supposed to because they had to leave quickly. You know, sometimes we got things that we are thinking about doing and we never get to them. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I got to do this. Sometimes I got to do that. And then we never get to it. They had to leave that night and there was no time to really bake it, to make it crispy. They had to leave Egypt, and they didn't have the time. Listen, sometimes we don't have time, but sometimes we got to make time. You know, life is so quick, it goes by so quick. If you look at your children today, you probably look at them when they were playing and running around the yard, and look at them now. Now the grandchildren are the ones who are running around the yard. Time goes by so quickly. You know, time is short. Sometimes we think, you know, time is long, but listen, time is so short. This week I was driving. By the way, I now drive to church with my eyes closed. The car goes automatic already. I go from my house, I get to the interstate. I mean, listen, it's just straight to Miller Street, 209 South Miller Street. And I was coming one of these days this week, and I remember just coming in the opposite direction. I believe it was at Kenworth or a Freightliner. And all of a sudden, I see he's crossing my lane. And for one second, I said, is this it, Jesus? This morning as I was driving in, I was thanking the Lord. Lord, thank you so much that I can come to your house this morning. Listen, time, life, it goes by like this. Sometimes we need to hurry up. Sometimes we need to hurry and tell people about Jesus before we leave this world. Sometimes we need to pray for our neighbor that he'll be saved And our family members who are lost, they need Jesus. They need to be saved, for the time is short. Sometimes we need to move quickly. Sometimes there are moments that it's not time to pray about it. It's time to run. This is the time that this unleavened bread took place. And sometimes we just need to move quickly. We need to take action for Jesus. We need to take the gospel to other people who do not know the Lord. This is the time. You know, God is doing amazing things around the world. And I believe that God wants to do amazing things in Fort Valley. Amen? I believe he does. But it's quickly. So they didn't have time to prepare the bread like they wanted to prepare it. So it was unleavened. They had to move quickly. But he also, the other element was the cup. He also had to take the cup. So the unleavened bread and the cup and both of these elements, there was a representation of Jesus' death. It represented his death. You know, first, the unleavened bread represented his body given for the sins of this world. He gave his body for the sins of all the world. He also gave the fruit. You know, 1 John 2:2 says that he gave his life for the sins of all the world. Listen, everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Listen, everyone needs the Lord. Everybody. Listen, we need to make sure that we have the Lord. We need to make sure that Jesus lives in our hearts. We need to double check that we are part of God's kingdom. We need to make sure that Jesus is in us. He represents his body. But also, the fruit of the vine, it represents his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. Both elements convey a deeper meaning, the body and the blood of Christ. Both elements he gave us. The two elements do not transform, but they only represent. These two elements only a representation of what's to come. Of course, the bread and the wine do not transform. When we partake the Lord's Supper this morning, it's not going to transform you. The one who transforms is Christ himself. When we accept him, when we give our lives to him, he begins to work in our lives. Listen, we are a work in process. He's always working in me. We cannot say and put on our brake. I have the custom that every time I park my car, I also put the brake, the emergency brake. How many of you are with me? I don't know why I always do that. I always think the car is going to go back, whether it's flat or on a hill. Listen, sometimes we have put the emergency brake on God and said, this is the way I am. Listen, God is not finished with us until we are in heaven. He's always working in us. We must allow him to work in us. We must not put our emergency brake and say, this is the way I am. You have to accept me. Then what we're doing, we are lowering the power of God that has lived, that lives in us. Oh, I love the way Paul puts it in Romans 8. He said, don't you know that if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Oh, that is so powerful. That is so powerful that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Therefore, approaches to this is a big word here. Transubstantiation, that is the first word here. And it comes from the Roman Catholic. It says that the bread and the wine transform literally in the body, in the flesh of Christ, and that the wine is actually transforms into the blood. In other words, when you and I come together to have the Lord's Supper, it means, according to this approach, that this is actually the blood of Christ right here. And the body is the flesh of Christ. The other approach is the consubstantiation. Those are words that I had to practice the whole week so I can learn how to say it. This is impacting my Hellenistic southerner. It's bringing me back to learn these long words. Consubstantiation, Martin Luther says, that even though the elements do not change, he says, but Christ's divine substance is present. And then the next approach comes from Calvin, and he says that it is the real presence of Christ. And so this is kind of similar to what Martin Luther says. And yet there is the evangelical approach. Most evangelicals affirm that the elements are symbolic. The value of the bread and the wine is to remember vividly the price that Christ paid to free us from our bondage. If you look at this particular text, the timing of it is interesting, because the time when Jesus said it, he said these words, he had not been crucified yet. So he was really looking ahead of what was going to happen to him. So he had not been crucified. So we believe that when we take the Lord's Supper, that it is symbolic. It is symbolic. You don't have to be worried about that you're going to be drinking blood today. I know we're in October, but you will not be drinking blood or eating flesh here today. It's only symbolic. Only symbolic. So, not only was the bread and the wine taken from the Passover, but what does this remind us of? What does it remind us of? Well, first of all, it reminds us of his death and sacrifice for our sin. Think about it. Think about who you are. Think about who I am. We don't deserve to be saved. I know pride gets in our mind, in our brain. But you know, if it wasn't for Jesus, we would not be here. If it wasn't for the Lord's death and sacrifice for our sin, we would not be here. He died for you. He died for me. And yet we're here now, heaven bound. Have you thought about that? Have you given it some thought that if it wasn't for Jesus, sometimes one of our biggest struggles is pride. Listen, if it wasn't for Jesus, you and I would not be here. We need to make that clear. He's the one who forgave our sins so that we can praise him here today, so that we can give him glory today. Jesus paid for our sin. But it points to his return. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And listen, we need to begin to live like Jesus is coming back. For this is not our world. We are sojourners. For valley is not our home, but we seek the one to come. Peach County is not our home. The Lord has prepared a place for us that where he is at, we will also be. Listen, all of it will be finished one day. And all because of Christ's sacrifice, we can now will enjoy heaven forever. We will enjoy heaven, but Jesus is coming back. You know, just like they saw him go up in Acts, he would also return. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So when we partake the table and we come to the table, it reminds us that Jesus is coming back. Let's fight less. Let's argue less. Because he can come in the blink of an eye. Even before he comes, he may just take us home. In a good southern expression that I learned from Brother James, he take you out. And it's all over. Thank you. Thank you, Brother James. Appreciate it. We don't know when that day will come. Listen, these hurricanes are coming through here. A lot of folks have left already. Please don't fight. Stay focused on Christ. And in his return, he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. I can't wait for that moment. I hope our generation will see him come. Wouldn't that be awesome? We get out of church and you look up and here's the body coming down to earth. Woo! Is that a southern expression? Well, not good. Thank you, brothers. I'm learning. He's going to come back. He's coming back. Everything will end. Everything will finish. But it also announces that he was finished. When he went to that cross, he said, "It is finished." Humanity now can be forgiven. It is finished. It is finished. Now we can experience true forgiveness. When he forgives our sins. See, he goes to the root of the problem. He said, "I died on the cross for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is finished. Behind all of that, it's God's unconditional love for you. He wants to forgive you. He accepts you. He knows everything about us. Listen, you can hide a nickel in your backyard, and he knows where it's at. He knows it all. Loves you. Wants the best for you. He said, "It is finished." He was and is the perfect sacrifice, the blameless, sinless Lamb of God. When he was coming to be baptized by John the Baptist, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. Oh, we have been forgiven. It is such a joy to know that I and you have trusted Christ belong to him." Listen, he's got it all. He's got it. He passes in our hands. He has my life in his hands. He has your life in his hands. Sometimes we just got to let go and let God. He's got this. I know situations look sometimes completely adverse. But let me tell you something. Jesus is still on the throne. Still on the throne. He was the perfect sacrifice. We should take the Lord's Supper. Jesus wants all of us to come to the table. First requirement is, have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Does the Lord live in your heart? Does the Spirit of God dwell in you today? That is the question, the first question that we need to ask ourselves. Have we received Christ as our personal Savior? The second thing is, have we obeyed Him in baptism by immersion? Even Jesus gave us the example of baptism. He says He went underwater. He came out of the water. That's the word bautizo. It means to submerge someone. You confess Him as Lord. If you confess Him as Lord today, do you confess Him as Lord today? And Paul reminded the Corinthian church. He said, some are sick. Some have gone home because they have abused the Lord's Supper. We must examine ourselves before God. How are our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Is there anything in our hearts that we need to bring to God before we partake the Lord's Supper? Is there anything that we have in our hearts? Is there any bitterness in our hearts today? Is there anything, maybe even as we are here today, maybe there's somebody from one side to the other side of the aisle that maybe you need to go and say, I'm sorry. Maybe you need to humble yourselves today. We need to examine ourselves for the Lord. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and Lord if you don't do what I tell you to do? You know, we can run in this world and do whatever we want, but we still got to give an account to the Lord. You know, run away from Him. You have to be transparent with Him. He knows it all. We're going to take a minute. If there's anything, or if maybe there's someone here, you need to go say, I'm sorry. Then you would like to partake the Lord's Supper. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all the honor and glory. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house to partake the Lord's Supper. We are so thankful to be in your house. So thankful you allow us to live today. Praise you today. We give you honor today. Father, as we partake the Lord's Supper, we take a few moments to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves. To look at our walk in this journey that we're in. Thank you. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread.